ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The other way. So today reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 39, Akrura's vision, text number 16. Smarantya chapara saure. Smarantyascha parashaure anuraga smiterita. Ridhisrishas chitrapada. Gira sammu muhu shriya. Gira sammu muhu shriya. Smarantya chapara saure. Anuraga smiterita. Ridhi sprisha chitrapada. Gira sammu muhu shriya. Remembering. Cha. And. Apara. Others. Shaure. Of Krishna. Anuraga. Affectionate. Smita. By his smile. Irita. Sent. Riddhi. The heart. Sprishaha. Touching. Chitra. Wonderful. Pada. With phrases. Gira. The speech. Samumuhu. Fainted. Sriyaha. Women. Am I reading right sloka today? The response is a bit weak. Translation. And still other young women fainted simply by remembering the words of Lord Shaurya Krishna. These words, decorated with wonderful phrases and expressed with affectionate smiles, would deeply touch the young girls' hearts. I read 17:18 also. Gatim su laritam chistam snigta hasavalokanam shoka pahani namani prodama charitani cha chintayantyo mukundasya vita viraha katara samita sangasa proku asrumukyo chitashaya. The gopis were frightened at the prospect of even the briefest separation from Lord Mukunda. So now, as they remember his graceful great gait, his pastimes, his affectionate smiling glances, his heroic deeds, and his joking words, which would relieve their distress, they were beside themselves with anxiety at the thought of the great separation about to come. They gathered in groups and spoke to one another, their faces covered with tears, and their minds fully absorbed in the tutor. Amagyana timrandasya gananjana sanakarya shakshamratam yena tasmai shri gurave namah namo vishnupadaya krishna prasadane shrimati bhaktivedanta swami tamne namaste sarasati devi gauravane pracharine nivisesa sanyavali basichade shatarine. So we're coming to a very, shall we say, sad, distressful part of the Bhagavatam, at least from the side of the gopis. When we read the following slokas, how the gopis feel when Krishna, when they found out that Krishna was about to leave, is actually heart-wrenching. We have to understand that the deep affection or deep love and attachment that the inhabitants of Vrindavan has for Krishna. Because Krishna is their life and soul. They breathe for Krishna. Their eyes is only to see Krishna. And their mouth and the tongue is only vibrating the pastimes of Krishna. As we are reading in previous verses, or Prabhupada explaining in regards to the Damodar Leela, was saying how the gopis, they were composing different poems and songs about the person of Krishna. So while Krishna was in the taking care of the cows, they were just singing these songs and poems. And in this way they were remembering Krishna. And Prabhupada went to explain that even in previous time, not even so long ago, that people used to, when they want to remember something, they will compose songs and poems. And if they're not good at that, they will employ the service of a poet to compose the songs and poems. And they will sing those songs and poems in this way to remember those activities. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially gopis, like Aniruddha Prabhu was pointing out yesterday, when Krishna and Balaram approached Nanda Maharaj and said that, yes, the King Kamsa has ordered us to come to join the festivities in Mathura. Nanda Maharaj was very enthusiastic. He said, yeah, call the constable and announce to everyone to collect all the ghee and milk products so we can bring it to the king as taxes. What Krishna and Balaram held back and did not tell him was that the plan of Kamsa, that is inviting us to come to Mathura with a plan to kill us. So Krishna and Balaram didn't tell him that. He just said the king ordered us to come and join the festivities. That's why Nanda Maharaj was so enthusiastic, thinking they'll go there to Mathura with Krishna and Balaram and then they'll come back with him. But for the gopis, that was intolerable to be separated from Krishna even for a moment. In fact, their eyes are so much absorbed in seeing the beautiful form of Krishna that they were complaining about the Creator. They said, what's wrong with this Creator that creating this blinking of the eyes? Because every time the eyes blinking, that moment we are not able to see Krishna. Why does he have to create this blinking of the eyelid? What's wrong with this Creator? Even that, we hardly notice. We hardly notice the blinking of the eyes, but if we count how many times the eyes blink during the day, we go pretty crazy. So often the eyes blinking all the time. So they were complaining like that. So this is, sometimes it's very difficult for us to understand when we talk about love in separation, how the devotees, the gopis, feeling so much separation from Krishna. We can feel separation only when we possess something. We cannot talk about separation unless we actually feel possession of something. Sometimes parents, they do not understand. Example, if the child has a birthday party, for example, and the friends are invited and they come and they give presents to him. And as he's opening the presents, all the other children are also hankering after those presents. And they also want to play. And sometimes the child says, oh, this is mine. And out of pressure, because the other parents are also watching, how are you going to handle the situation? So sometimes the parents feeling pressure say, hey, share your toys with your friends. And the child says, no, it's mine. And sometimes you force them to share the toys with the child. And failing to understand that first the child has to feel possessions of the toys. He has to feel the possession of it first. Then he can share. But until he feels that possession, he will be, no, this is mine. He's afraid that someone is taking it away. So unless one actually possesses, he cannot say that, oh, I'm renouncing. Sometimes you talk about renunciation. Renunciation, actually, if you examine what is there to renounce. When we came to this world with nothing, not even any clothing, son. The only thing we came along with this world is our karma. That's the only possession we have. And we live with nothing. We cannot take our bank balance with us. And when we leave, say, wait a minute, I have to sign off my bank balance. I'll bring along my house, the house that I worked so hard all my years to pay off. No, we come with nothing and we live with nothing. But in between, we claim possession over so many things. So actually, the renunciation we're talking about is the renunciation of that I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. That is the renunciation. To renounce the idea that I'm the supreme. So it's explained in, and we read so many especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the deep feeling of affection that is there between the devotees and the Supreme Person of Godhead, and the deep feeling of separation when he's not present. That sometimes they even give up their body out of separation. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to perform Pinda, went to Gaya. His wife, his first wife is what, Lakshmi Priya or Vishnu Priya? Lakshmi Priya. He said that she died from a snake bite. Like it was a snake bite of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he left. And there was another case with Nityananda, Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda was the life and soul of Hada Oja and his wife. His wife was what? Padmavati? Yeah? Pardon? Yeah. Of the mother of Nityananda. Padmavati, right? Yeah. So one time there was this sannyasi came and he was very well received by Hada Oja and his wife. And then he was offering everything. That's the case with the Brahma. When someone comes in the house, the Brahmana or the sannyasi come, just my house is yours, whatever. Just ask for anything, it's yours. And the sannyasi said, I do not want anything, I only want one thing. I want your son. Oh, this was so difficult for Hada Oja and his wife. And he is asking for, he can have anything, but he's asking for our life and soul. And he gave his son to this sannyasi, and when he left, they just could not sustain their life anymore. Hada Oja just left his wife. He feeling so deep separation from Lord Nityananda, he just could not live without him, and he just left his body. So this was the case of the deep affection is there, that they cannot feel separation even for a moment. So the gopis here, when they heard that Akrura is taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, they could sense that if Krishna and Balaram goes there, most likely he's not going to come back. this will be revealed later on as the verses progresses. So they are afraid, and immediately they start thinking of the words of Krishna, his form, his smile, how he's dealing with them, and his joking words, his smiling glances. So they were just remembering this. And as they were remembering, they're feeling great sadness in their heart that very soon they will not be able to see all this. They will not have all these dealings anymore. They will not be able to see the beautiful glancing face of Krishna. That's why Krishna is known as Smita Krishna, smiling Krishna. So they are feeling great pain and anxiety. It's just like when someone is very attached, for example, the materialist, when they are very attached and when they realize that they are about to die and then to leave everything behind, they feel great anxiety. They feel a great sense of loss. Or sometimes when we have been you know, driving with me, fine $200 or whatever, feel some pain, I'm going to depart with it. And that pain is cannot be compared to the feeling of loss, that the impending loss that the gopis are feeling. It's just a slight indication, losing $200. So they're feeling this great anxiety, and they start speaking to one another, and tears in their eyes. So you can actually at least appreciate how deep the love the gopis have for Krishna. How deep their love is. That, you know, we were reading yesterday, they feel so much pain in their heart, their face just turned pale. And all the clothing starts slackening, and the bracelets are all falling off. So, so this kind of feeling, like we were saying early on, is can be fully appreciated only when we actually have. When we talk about separation, and that's why the love of the gopis for Krishna is considered the highest. They are like the topmost devotee, because there's so intense love for Krishna. The love in separation is sometimes compared to a good chutney. It is too hot to take, but at the same time too sweet to resist. That's how good chutney is supposed to be. It's hot, it's icy, it's burnt, but at the same time so too sweet, you don't want to keep eating it. That's love in separation. So we see that even the Goswami's Vrindavan, they also absorb in that mood, you know, of love in separation. We see they're running around the Vrindavan, calling out, "Oh Krishna, where are you? Are you in Govardhan? Are you in Vamsiva? Are you by the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you now?" They're running, looking for Krishna. And sometimes some devotees, they feel so confident that they have Krishna, they can challenge Krishna. Like Bhivamanga Thakur, he was blind. Materially he was blind, but his spiritual vision, he was seeing Krishna. So Krishna came and brought him a pot of milk. He was taking the milk, and then he realized this is not just ordinary cow, but it's Krishna. And he was trying to catch Krishna. And Krishna was jumping around, trying to avoid him. He was trying to catch. And after a while, Bhimanka Thakur was challenged. He said, "My dear Krishna, you think you can run away from me? You just try. You just try. You cannot run away from me. Because I've you firmly captured in my heart. There's no way you can run away." So someone like Bhimanka Thakur can say that. We cannot say that. He will say that, Krishna say, "All right." He will just walk away. But Bhimanka Thakur, he can say, "So you just try. You're trying to run away. You just try. There's no way you can run away from me. You firmly captured in my heart." So this, the sign is in the Nectar of Devotion. It all this are described. Sometimes this mix, the feeling of having and at the same thing of not having, loss. It's like some mixed feelings is there. This is how deep the feeling is. Sometimes I was told about this this feeling of separation. There was one Grihastha. He was revealing how in Los Angeles his daughter was going to the Gurukul, and it was not even like a ashram kind of thing. It was like a day school, and the school was just practically just across the road. And he was revealing how when his daughter go to school, he was feeling so much pain of separation. You know, when he see the shoes, her shoes or anything that was belonged to her, he was feeling great separation. And you can imagine if this is in the material world, is that how much more intense it is in the spiritual world? How much more intense? This sometimes the parents can relate to that. strong attachment. And even in the material sense, between husband and wife, maybe not as much nowadays as before, but you know that attachment, the strong love and attachment is there. That's why there's this sati. When the husband died, the wife just feel that there's no point living. There's no use in my life anymore. The object of my love, my husband, is not around anymore. And they willingly enter into the fire. In the funeral pride, they willingly enter the fire and follow wherever the husband goes. That is actually a sign of chastity and great love that the wife has for the. Otherwise, why would anyone just enter into fire? But because the feeling, the fire of separation was stronger than the fire on the funeral pyre. That's how they were feeling. And Prabhupada was revealing when he was writing that even at that time anyway, he said, even 50 years ago, he observed there was a woman who willingly, voluntarily entered into the fire. But of course, after that, they just became like a custom or tradition, and sometimes the wife was forced onto the funeral pyre to be burned. And sometimes they would have to drag her along. So it was rightfully banned in India. I think during the time of the British, they banned it. So this is also just one example of how feeling separation, that one is willing to, you know, one cannot live without. So, but to come to that point, one has to go through the process of sadhana. First developing the attachment. We are, our stage, we are not talking about separation so much. We are talking about developing our attachment, because our attachment is not there yet. We have to develop the attachment for Krishna. Developing the attachment to hear and chant His holy name. To hear and chant His pastimes, His activities. To be attached to His service. To be completely absorbed day and night. Swami Prabhupada said, one should mow his life in such a way that he's always remembering Krishna. This is the golden rule. Always remember Krishna and never forget Him. So that process of Krishna consciousness is there for us to develop, gradually develop more and more our attachment. And the symptom, as described in the Bhagavatam, symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness is that as one advances in Krishna consciousness, his detachment, his attachment to the material sense gratification become decreased. And his attachment to Krishna increases. This is simultaneously. As our attachment to Krishna increases, our attachment to material decreases. And one, at the same time, one feeling satisfied. Just like we may be hungry, but with every morsel of food we put in the mouth, our hunger decreases. And we're feeling more and more satisfied. So this one way also one can gauge our advancement, how we advance in Krishna consciousness. How much we are becoming more and more detached from the material world, and how attached we are becoming to Krishna, and whether we are feeling satisfied. So here the gopi, they were frightened at the prospect of even the briefest separation from Mukunda. So now they remember his graceful gait and the way Krishna walked. And how his pastimes, performed so many pastimes in Vrindavan. And they're just remembering those pastimes and how affectionate he was towards them. And of course they're remembering the rasa dance. Later on they will start planning how they will just, we have to stop him. We have to stop him. And they were talking, you know, if we try to stop him, hang on to him and prevent him from going, then it will be a review of their love and attachment to him, to the elders. And that will not be good. But then thought, we don't care anymore. There's nothing worse. Nothing worse than Krishna leaving us. Even if it will be revealed, our secret love for Krishna, even if our elders, they find out, and we may be punished for it, it doesn't matter. Because that cannot be worse than letting Krishna go. Now of course later on you see how Radharani tried to stop the chariot, and Krishna has to get down from the chariot and try to pacify her. I've seen there was a, I think at one time there was a drama. I saw the drama there. It was like, it was so touching. The devotee was enacting the pastime, dealing with so much feelings. It was so touching to see that pastimes. How painful it is for these gopis. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. Pardon? About? Oh, I don't know. Earlier. Yes, I am approved.
Can you say that gopis are Nityasiddha? That's why there is so much love?
You can say that. There are different sort of gopis. Some are Nityasiddhas. Some of the gopis were yogis. They were yogis when Ramchandra was in the forest. They wanted to, you know, have the relationship with Krishna. So they took birth as gopis. They got the blessing of Krishna. That when he appeared, Krishna, you.
They wanted a relationship with Lord Rama.
Yeah. But Lord Ram, he was showing the example of Eka Patni, only one wife. Although he was a king. I find it a bit difficult to speak in those words. They are also advanced topics. Gopis, love and separation and all that. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.